Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the Habitcast, Habitat Pinellas and West Pasco's new show, highlighting our partners and our mission in our community. So I am your co-host, Morgan, and I'm here with our very own CEO and president, Mike Sutton. Hey, Mike.
What's going on, Morgan? I think you are the host. I'm just kind of here as backup.
I don't know. I was very thankful that you and Thomas got together, and we're going to get to that in a minute, but between the two of you, there's a lot of personality in the room. So that should be very interesting.
That's typically why we don't hang out often.
keep it very rare. So today on the fourth episode, we got to talk with Thomas Mance from Feeding Tampa Bay, and we got to announce a new partnership following up on Give Back Day, which was last week, which was so much fun.
Yeah, so Give Back Day has been a project for our organization for the last 5 years that our staff just loves and embraces. And it's a day that I think prior to Give Back Day, a lot of people took PTO because it's the day before Thanksgiving. So people would take time off and that kind of thing. Now it's a day that no one wants to miss, right? And so we found a way this year with COVID to still do Give Back Day. What we ended up doing this year, we actually, our staff went into the Dansville community, which is part of Greater Ridgecrest in central Pinellas County, and a community in which we've spent probably the last 4 years building out 28 homes, I believe, and then we have another 28 to go. But in the Greater Ridgecrest area, we've completed over 50 homes. So we thought this year what we would do is go in and just partner with the folks that live there, about 120 residents, and provide them with their Thanksgiving meals. And so it was great to see our staff being able to portion those out, give out those turkeys weighed a lot. They were pretty frozen. But just to really kind of get to know the community a little bit more, that's been so welcoming to us in the first place, but just provide them with a healthy healthy meal for Thanksgiving. It was awesome.
It was a great day. I'm just so glad we were able to
take pictures all day.
What did you say?
I said, did you have fun or did you just take pictures all day?
No, I had so much fun. It was so great just being out with staff that, especially due to the pandemic or working from home or people are all over the place in two counties, just getting to see everyone come together in a socially distant and safe way was just an awesome bonus to kick off the holiday, which was great.
What was the highlight of the day for you?
I think hearing the stories of everybody who had jumped into vehicles to head over into Rainbow Village. Kirsten had some great stories, and just the impact that made on our staff, who were in turn impacting local community members, was just awesome, especially right before Thanksgiving.
Well, I think as we talked to Thomas today about Feeding Tampa Bay and the impact that they have on the community, I think it gave us a glimpse into what they deal with on a daily basis, right, and how real food insecurity is, and something that a lot of folks never have to think about, but yet there's another population out there that this is something every day it's on their mind, how they're going to feed their family.
Right. Which it's a scary thought, especially now with the pandemic. I mean, I think the stat that they published is 68% of families who are getting a hand up from Feeding Tampa Bay normally are not in that kind of situation. So the tides have changed, and changing those perspectives, like we say, changing lives and changing perspectives is something that both organizations do on a daily basis, making an impact in our community. And I think it was so awesome that we partnered with them. Such a natural partnership.
Yeah.
Especially
Before we get into that interview, I can't wait for everyone to hear about the partnership that we're launching with Feeding Tampa Bay, because I think there's some synergy there between food and a home and all that good stuff. So,
and before we get to that, I want to make sure that everyone who has tuned in to episode 4 is getting social with us. So get tuned in, plugged in on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. We're on all these channels. The episodes are always uploaded to our website as well as Facebook and YouTube. So if you've missed any of the previous episodes, definitely go back and check those out. They're short snippets, and they are pretty awesome highlights of partners who help us fulfill our mission every day in the community, which is pretty awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, cool. Let's talk to Thomas then.
Let's do it.
All right. Thomas, thank you so much for joining us and spending a few minutes with us talking a little bit about Feeding Tampa Bay and, yeah. and all the great stuff you guys are doing in the community.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I'm honored to be a guest on this esteemed podcast.
This is, you know how many people you're going to reach through this podcast? I mean, this thing broadcasts all over the world.
Is it watched all over the world? That's the thing we need to know about our podcasts.
You never know. You never know. Yeah. So obviously we just had the opportunity to do some work with you guys our staff really enjoyed it. I mean, yeah. it was nice to bring two nonprofits together to do something good in the community. So, but tell us a little bit about what's going on right now with COVID and everything. We know that, food needs are massive and the need continues to rise.
Yeah. You know, Mike, I think, you know, as we sit here today, food need is up 40 to 50% across our community. So to put it in a couple of real terms, Feeding Tampa Bay looks after 10 counties here in West Central Florida. There's about 4.2 or 3 million folks in population. Right now, about 1 million are considered food insecure. And that means that people don't necessarily know where or when their next meal is coming. And if you think about it in maybe the terms that all of us can relate to, in, you know, March, you know, you had families who had good jobs in good industries like tourism and hospitality and leisure, restaurants, who were planning a summer vacation or thinking about a new car payment or a graduation, who 9 months later are scrambling to keep their lives and their families afloat. They don't have the same financial resources. Their industries have been decimated. So everybody that watches this podcast knows someone who has been impacted by COVID. And much like Habitat does, we try and be that safety net between an individual who is hungry and the negative things that happen when folks don't have access to food.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, it's I keep seeing more and more on the news about food banks and the work yeah. that's being done. You know, not just here in Tampa Bay, but all throughout the country, mm-hmm. And the need and the massive need.
Yeah, I think, you know, it stunned us. The pace of COVID stunned us. I remember the first time on a Saturday, we started at Hillsborough Community College over off Dale Mabry, and we had our first what we called a mega pantry. And so to set that for your viewers, a normal food pantry sees about 300 families. In our first mega pantry, we had close to 3,000. In fact, the mayor was there with us and she sent a helicopter up and we have video of it. And it's staggering to think of that many folks yeah. who are in a food line. And we did some early survey work then that suggested, I think at that point, 68% had never been in a food line before. So we're glad, to use a weird term, we're really happy that we've gotten terrific coverage of the cause with the press. I think folks have understood that families have been affected in ways none of us could have imagined, and families that never could have imagined themselves in this spot. Yeah. And so we're glad to have some coverage for sure.
A couple of years ago, I did some work with a nonprofit, you know, volunteering during Christmas, and you know, they had the food pantry, and one of the jobs I was assigned was taking the food out to people's cars. And it created this preconceived idea in my head that, you know, gosh, I just put this in a really nice Honda Civic. Like, why do they need food, right? But just like Habitat deals with a lot of preconceived ideas around our mission, right? We're giving away free homes to, you know, people that don't have jobs and that kind of thing. A lot of the people that you're dealing with and a lot of the families you're serving are people who we come in contact with every day.
Yeah, I think, you know, Mike, if I had a magic wand and I could change one thing about the work that I do, it would be to eliminate the judgment of those we're privileged to serve.
Yeah,
we find them to be heroic people. We find them to be people who care deeply about their responsibility to themselves, to their families, to their community. But they've had circumstances that most of us would struggle with, too. Yeah. You know, all of us on this podcast today, but for a family member or a friend or a few different circumstances, could have easily ended up in a food line. Yeah. And I think, as you know, with Habitat and all the great folks that move into the homes that you have, their spirit, their sense, their person, they are just people to be admired and cared about and cared for. So we find the notion that somehow people are wanting to be on the dole, that they're welfare kings or queens, or that they're looking for a handout is exceptionally rare. We find far more people that come into our world. Gosh, the gratitude when you were putting food into the someone's car. I've seen folks ride by in food lines just in sobbing in gratitude, and kids holding up signs and saying thank you, and people trying to get out of their car, which they can't do during COVID, just to give us a hug and say, hey, we appreciate this. We have people that go through our lines that share with us that, you know, 6 months ago they were donating to the food bank.
I had a one of our staff members after the project we did with you guys the day before Thanksgiving, one of our staff members shared with me as they were giving out the food, as we were driving through Rainbow Village, a woman came running from a block over because when, I guess when we went by, she was in the shower. So she couldn't get dressed fast enough to come over. But she had tears in her eyes as she accepted the turkey from the staff member who said she had no idea how she was going to provide Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow night. And it was, you know, extremely impactful for that staff member, but it was also eye-opening to know that, you know, that could happen to anybody. So the work that you guys do is obviously so needed and so appreciated.
Well, I think it's the work that we do, Mike. I think, you know, you and I have talked about this before. One of the unique positions that we stand in the nonprofit world is we stand between incredible need and incredible generosity. And we try and, right, we try and connect the two. How do we bring these folks that want to change someone's life into the lives of someone that needs a hand, needs a arm around a shoulder and some assistance? I think that's the really unique part of our world is we straddle both of these. And but there are times that you could gratefully cry over a gift given to you, and there are times that you could cry over the circumstances that someone is in. It's hard. It is really hard to see someone who doesn't want to be in the spot that they're in, that they feel incredibly trapped by. Can you imagine? We often try and share this with folks. So we do something called the Hunger Supper. We can't do it this year, but we invite everybody in for dinner. We can handle about 200. We have it here at the food bank. And when you show up, you're given an envelope that's sealed. And then when you're asked to open the envelope, it identifies you as either food secure or food insecure. If you're food secure, you sit down to a really nice dinner from a waiter. If you're food insecure, you have to go through a line where you're able to spend only the amount of money that a typical family who is in need of food can spend. And so one is it drives some really interesting conversation at the table around choices that our families have to make. But we also ask provocative questions. And one of the ones that we often ask people is, we'd like you to choose for your child between medicine and food. Which would you choose? Who in this world wants to make that choice? And so when we reduce it to those moments, just like you all do with Habitat, when we remind people that the circumstances that our friends and neighbors are in and the choices that they're making are difficult. We have a saying here, which I'm sure you're familiar with. Don't judge the decisions I've made until you understand the choices I had. And we think a lot about that. And we try, just like you do, we try to make all the work we do a very dignified and thoughtful process. One of the hardest things for us with COVID is we normally don't hand anybody food. Everybody that gets food from us chooses it. They select what they want. They take the items that are there for their family. So if you're at a mobile distribution, you go along a bunch of tables and you take what's good for you. COVID, because of safety, we can't do that. So we're handing someone. But the idea of making sure that the folks we serve get and deserve a dignified experience, again, is I know something that you all care just as deeply about. You would not put someone in a home that you yourselves would not live in.
Sure, sure.
We would not put food on someone's table that we ourselves would not eat.
You know, it's funny you make that comment. That's something I constantly tell our families that, you know, as we're building, again, misconceptions about different parts of the community and that kind of thing. But that's something I share with our homeowner candidates when they're accepted into the program, that we're never going to try to match you with a piece of property that I would not live on myself. And I feel pretty strong about that. You know, I mean, and that's what's important about, you know, the areas of the community in which we live. So, Morgan, so when we were doing the Give Back Day, you know, obviously in working with Feeding Tampa Bay, what was some of the stuff you heard from the staff that day?
Oh my gosh. I think it was such
I assume
great...
it was about how wonderful I was. I'm just making it something.
Obviously there. Way too many comments about you two being very similar, which is frightening. But in the best way. Because I think that, just to go back to something that you said, Thomas, that problem of choosing between medicine and healthy food is something that we talk about quite a bit through our cost of home campaign. So that's 1 in 6 families in Florida have to make that choice, and they don't have enough to pay their rent, which is just, it's a crazy, and that was, those were statistics before the pandemic. So now obviously it's even worse. So hearing that number, 68% of people who are currently getting a hand up from being in Tampa Bay that haven't in the past, that's a scary, scary number. So having our staff be out in Dansville, which is a community that we've done a lot of redevelopment in, and so much time and investment has been made there, because we just, we love that community of the greater Ridgecrest area. I think, what is it, 26 homes in Dansville so far, and 53 overall in that area. So to give back and to have a lot of staff members who maybe aren't working in that area or are in the office or in Pasco or in St. Pete, be on site somewhere and actually get to meet homeowners. We had several Habitat homeowners stop by and just to say hi. We got a Christmas card from one of our homeowners. So I think that connection to staff, that especially right before the holidays, was just so much fun, and it's such a great day. Lots of comments about people loved when we did drive-bys with turkeys and food into the Rainbow Village area, just to see people with, like the story you told, Mike, with tears in their eyes, and the gratitude is just such a great way for us organizationally to partner, but also for our staff just to get that hands-on experience in these crazy pandemic times was awesome.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure I'm not supposed to ask questions here, but what the heck. So, you know, Mike, I was really impressed with the idea of your staff volunteering in service day. How did that come about? Was that something you had come up with, or was that a part of an employee culture committee? How did you guys come up with this idea? It seemed just everybody seemed to really enjoy it.
Well, yeah, you know, just like Feeding Tampa Bay, right? We're carrying out our mission every day in the work that we do. And about 5 years ago, we actually decided the day before Thanksgiving, which is a day that, you know, from a business operation standpoint, we don't get much done, right? It's just like Cyber Monday. Everybody in the office yesterday was shopping probably. The day before Thanksgiving's just been a day where, you know, we've typically let the staff go early, that kind of thing. And so we started brainstorming, and we said, let's do something. Like, let's get out into the community and do a project. And so one of our employees, Stacy Efaw, was running the Humane Society at the time, and they needed some work done on a couple of their facilities. So I said, well, we build houses. We know how to use a hammer. Why don't we come out and lend a hand? And so, as you know, there's a lot of nonprofits out there that don't have the experience of being able to do something like that. And they're going to pay a pretty penny to bring in a handyman or a construction company to do that. So we started to kind of lend our support out to the community. So we've done projects with Humane Society, Alpha House, Ready for Life, Pace Center for Girls. And so this year, just given the pandemic and where we were at, plus our just, again, Morgan touched on our love for the Dansville community, it just made sense for us to go and do something like this with you guys. And so I try to be like you as much as I possibly can. You're one of my life idols. And so I was like, let's do something with Feeding Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Well, I think we both love the notion of the home and the meal, right? And what a better time to do it than Thanksgiving. It was just a really terrific message. And I know we pushed it across our social channels, and it was just really nice to see how many people that kind of messaging resonated with, let alone the impact that it has inside the homes where food ended up.
There were so many people that, you know, commented on Facebook posts or Instagram posts that said, oh gosh, my two favorite nonprofits working together. Yep. So
two favorite nonprofits or two favorite nonprofit leaders?
I think it was the second.
I saw a little bit of both.
No, that was me and Thomas.
Yeah, they were
so
fake
combined,
names,
they think you and I might add up to one competent leader.
But I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, it was really, it really meant a lot to see how many people support both organizations, you know, so.
And on that note about you both being such great leaders and dangerously similar, you announced a new partnership on top of the partnership that we were already doing on Give Back Day. Do you want to tell the folks a little bit about that?
I think Thomas had the idea, right? But Thomas, why don't you tell us about it?
I was just waiting for you to steal my moves, Mike. You know, I of course, the funny story is when I got back to the office, I said to our COO, hey, we have a new program. I announced it on TV today. She said,
knows, that's this what is, I would do.
Right. This is our organization. She goes, sounds about right. You know, I think the concept is so simple and so, you know, perfect that it just made sense to us to do this. But I think, you know, Mike, one of the things you're aware of, because it's not just a home, mm-hmm. it's furniture in the home. It is, you know, the resources necessary to run a household that are expensive. And one of the things we know, particularly interestingly from hurricanes, is when a family loses their pantry, it's really expensive to restock your entire pantry. So it's one thing to go buy milk and bread and those basic, you know, week to week essentials. But when you have to replace everything or start over or start new, it's a really expensive proposition. And so we really thought that one of the things we could start to provide is give the families that you put into homes that much better of a chance to be successful by saying we can at least stock out your pantry with some of the critical items that you guys need to get going. So that you can direct some of your other resources to the other responsibilities you may have inside the home. And I think, you know, that's the practical part of it. The other part of the partnership, I think, which is just so important to us, is that we need everybody to understand a home, a food, probably healthcare and other things are critically important to all of us. And let's make sure that our organizations are partnering to do that. So we love the idea that every time a Habitat family moves into a brand new home that you all have worked so carefully to create for them, that when they walk in, they'll be able to open a fridge or a cabinet or a pantry and have some of the items that they need to sit down for a meal in their new home.
It's an amazing partnership that we got to announce, and I'm so glad I came up with the idea.
Yeah, you are brilliant. I don't think folks understand the level and depth of your brilliance. I don't think they know.
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep up with you. But, you know, we do
a
lot.
Are you guys going to actually broadcast this? Or
so
your heads are getting so big, they're going to fill out the screen.
I think maybe our five friends will watch this.
So we do a lot of work with Work Done. And, you know, former NFL football player.
Great. And a huge impact in the community, right? Yeah. He's the one, his mom, right?
Correct. Yes.
She was a police officer
killed in the line of duty. Mm-hmm. And then he helped to raise his siblings. And so he started a program where he goes in to basically partner with Habitat affiliates and provide all the furniture and all the food and the pantry. So he helps to finish out the house.
Wonderful.
And so he's done these studies, these white papers. I'll have to get you a copy of the one about food insecurity, right? Because he basically shows the economic impact to a family as they move into a new home. Yeah. And so, you know, everything that you were saying lines up 100% with some of these white papers I've read. Because again, you're moving into a brand new home and we all know what that's like, right? I mean, you move into a new house, you know, you don't necessarily want to bring all the stuff from your old place. You know, sometimes you want to do a little bit of an upgrade or what have you. And so it can get expensive.
Don't have stuff to begin with.
Exactly. And we feel pretty confident that we do enough education on the front end with the homeowners on a budgeting standpoint and helping them to understand the impact that moving into a new home can have on them financially, so that they don't go crazy when they do move in, that they have to do things slowly. But that food component is something that, as you mentioned, can be extremely expensive right off the bat.
But I think, one of the things that occurs to me, and I've been asked a lot recently about CARES funding and the fact that most of it will end at the end of the year. And for organizations like ours, it has been terrifically important.
Yeah.
But it's also been important to, homeowners and students and, a variety of different people. One of the things that I think, the second thing I would change after changing the perception of those we serve, the second thing that I would change is that folks would understand that investing in a family or person getting on their feet and allowing them the opportunity to move their lives forward is always the smarter spend. That it's always an investment that pays off, and that it's a heck of a lot cheaper to move someone forward than it is to carry them later. And I think one of the perceptions I have about what Habitat does so well is, I know it's obviously probably language you all use, but the foundation you provide for folks over the longer term gives them an opportunity to have lifelong success. And I think this is it's a continued message that I wish more. I think, Mike, you and I would say this to the same thing to elected officials and others. Mm-hmm. It's a heck of a lot smarter to spend your money on prevention than it is cure.
Yeah.
And what I love about what your mission does is it's really about establishing long-term capability.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you for the opportunity to partner together. I think, as we moved into the month of December here, we have six homes that we're going to be working with you guys to fill the pantries on. So, and just in time for Christmas too, which is going to be, pretty phenomenal to experience. So, so Thomas, tell us how people can get plugged into Feeding Tampa Bay.
So I think whenever folks ask that question, we answer it in a couple of different ways, Mike. So I think first and foremost, if you need food, we want you to know, go to our webpage, feedingtampabay.org, and there's a homepage you can go to, punch in your zip code, and it'll tell you where to get food in your area. Because again, I think as we mentioned, there are a lot of folks that need help right now that don't know where to go.
Yeah.
If you've never been in the food system, the charity food system, you don't know how to get there. I think number two is, much like your organization, we are supported financially by the community. So if you can do that, your contributions, our organization goes as far as the contributions that we get do. And then also, just like you all, we're a volunteer-based organization. Both of those things we love. We love being an organization that the community feels responsible for and connected with. But we can always use folks that want to help in both of those regards. And particularly during a pandemic, volunteering is a critical element, and we really could use folks' help in volunteering right now. But we appreciate that. And both of those you can find on our website.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, and before Morgan asks her very important question here.
Wait, I have some questions of my own. We're not done here.
We're not done.
Morgan's got a question for you. But I do want to say, you guys recently, I guess it was about a year or two ago, you guys consolidated with Trinity Cafe. And again, just a phenomenal organization. My mom volunteers with Trinity Cafe every Monday. She hasn't through COVID. And so she keeps threatening to come into my office and try to volunteer here. But we have signs up and she's not allowed in. But
there's some causes that aren't worth supporting, Mike.
But she talks about Trinity Cafe in a way that has changed her perspective.
Yeah.
In so many ways, and she loves going and helping to serve and sit down and just have conversations with some of the folks at Trinity Cafe.
Yeah, it is an amazing thing when you allow yourself to come in relationship with someone who is struggling. I think so often many of us meet people who are struggling and it's awkward for us, right? It's hard to be the person that sits with someone who is in a difficult place. I think there's always the empathetic person that can enter into that world, like your mom. It's not easy. But when you're able to do that, I think, from our perspective, let's go back to, Jimmy Carter and his message to all of us and the idea of Habitat for Humanity. The important word in that sentence to me is the humanity part.
Yeah.
right? And the thing that your mom, I hope, experienced when she sits with us at Trinity, or again, I know that folks that move into the homes you have, they experience the best of humanity. I don't think we are a group of people who wants to distance or disassociate. I think we're a group of people or a citizenry that want to make sure that our neighbors are okay.
Yeah,
I do hope the pandemic, like other crises, reminds us that we're better when we help each other out. I'm glad to hear your mom has a great experience there. I'm glad to know she has supported that work.
Food inventory might be low. I think she sneaks extra rolls to folks. And
the chef is the chef is an award-winning chef that at this point in his career, Chef Daniel wants to give back, and so he's left the world But yeah, he cooks some tasty vittles.
Maybe we'll have him on our award-winning podcast one day.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Sure if you ever recover from this episode and get get viewers,
this one
back.
Might not air.
No, not to conduct. So, Morgan, before you get to your question, I have to ask my question. So I go speak with folks often about food insecurity, and more often than not, most of us don't know what food insecurity is or haven't experienced it. So one of the things we talk a lot about, much like you probably do with home ownership, is the importance of food in your life, right? What does it mean to you? Because food has just as much a cultural or familial connection to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes when I speak, the question that I will ask everybody is that you're on death row, right, Mike? I can't imagine what you've done to get there, but my guess is you've deserved it. Morgan, I'm sure for you at the
it wasn't messed up.
Unfortunate series of events. You're on death row. What is your last meal? Get a smorgasbord. There's no... It is a last meal. What's your last meal and why?
I got it.
Go ahead, Morgan.
My parents are excellent cooks. My dad is Italian. My mom is Irish and cooks like an Italian. They make the best food. So I grew up with a very gourmet palate in my house. My last meal would be polenta with short ribs and marinara sauce.
Excellent. Okay, Mike, you?
Grated Parmesan Reggiano on top.
Holy smokes. I'm sure the prison system will really do that meal justice. I feel like the prison cook probably has that one down. Okay, oh, Mike, sure. What's yours?
Well, you can probably tell from my athletic physique that I'm a meat and potatoes type of guy. And so I probably would go with some sort of, like a filet steak. And just a typical type steak dinner.
So when folks choose their meal, they often choose it, I think, Morgan, for the reasons you've talked about. Oftentimes, it's about who they're with when they have those. It's about, so for me, it's always been a hamburger, right? I would have a hamburger, fries, and a Diet Coke because that's also a comfort meal for me. It's a meal that reminds me that things are okay. It's the meal in my family, you could choose your birthday meal. And so every year I would have a hamburger, right? But I think the thing about food, and you mentioned this about a home that you create for someone, the thing about food is it connects us to who we are, who we love, the things that are important to us. So Morgan, yours was the perfect example of why food matters. Absolutely. It's not just that it's fulfilling, so it's not just the meat and potatoes, but it's that moment around a table with a family that matters. And coming all the way back to our partnership, it's now a moment around a table for a family that matters inside a home that is safe and secure and sound for them. And, I'm just kidding aside in all of this. I am so thrilled that this is something we can do together.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. So to bring it back around, asking you a question, we've been asking all of our guests and we've been talking to all kinds of different partners about what home means to them. But in the spirit of the holidays, we know that especially during the pandemic, like we just talked about, it's home means more to everyone right now. So for you, Thomas, what does a home mean for you during the holidays?
Well, it's probably where my children will have me committed, but I don't think that's the that's the answer you're looking for.
That kind of home.
The first home. That one.
I think it's a great question. I think home, of course, is that physical place, right? But home for me is that place of peace, comfort, safety, the idea that you're around those that look out for you and care for you. that you're with the ones that you've chosen to move through this life alongside, or that you've been gifted, like your children. But home reminds me that we come together. And as I said earlier, I think, a friend used to say, fellowship is a spiritual embodiment of God's purpose, right? It's the moment where we can come together and be with each other. And home to me is that. Whether you're living in a mansion or, a starter home, home is the idea that you all come together and connect or reconnect. So I'm not sure if that's the answer you're looking for, but that's my answer.
Love it. That was perfect. Especially the first part. I think a lot of viewers may resonate with that, but
what, being committed?
Yeah.
I assume if they're watching Mike frequently, they're familiar with that. Yes.
Oh, Thomas. Well, on that note, thank you for joining us today. And we just appreciate all that you and all the good folks at Feeding Tampa Bay do on a regular basis. So thank you.
Yeah, to both of you, right back at you. It's been a great pleasure to spend some of my time with you. Thanks for having me on. Hopefully someone will watch this. If they do, please let us know what they think.
We had a cancellation. We had to fill a spot. So, hey.
Last minute.
Killing some time.
Totally get it.
Thanks, Thomas. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun talking to Thomas. He's a character. And
together are quite the pair.
We have a lot of fun. We were part of a CEO group together for a number of years, and we had a lot of laughs, a lot of fun. So he just such a great guy. And the thing I love about Thomas is on a professional level, all seriousness aside, I learned so much from him. He runs an amazing organization at Feeding Tampa Bay, does amazing work, has built some amazing collaborations. So if I could sum up Thomas in one word, I would just say amazing. So great guy. But as everyone heard, we're just so excited about this partnership with Feeding Tampa Bay. Every Habitat home moving forward, they're gonna stock the pantry. A nice little jump start for the homeowners as they move into their home. And obviously we all experience it. When you go grocery shopping, prices are going up, right? I mean, everything's going up in price, and COVID hasn't helped. So
right.
We know that this is gonna be a great jump start for our families.
So exciting. And that's gonna be starting in December, right?
Yeah.
This month. Yeah. So we actually have 6 more dedications before the end of the year, which means 6 more families will have a home for the holidays, which is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So on that note, to get involved, again, during these crazy pandemic times, it's a little different. But if you jump onto our website, habitatpwp.org, you can check out the calendar under news and see when those dedications are. We have our Veterans Bill dedication on the 10th. We have 4 back-to-back on the 11th and then another one on the 22nd. So tune in, add them to your calendar. You can tune in on Facebook to actually be there virtually, which is pretty awesome. It's a 5 to 7 minute quick little event that changes your entire day, which I think we always say, but it really is the best way to either start your day or end your day and to get involved. If you haven't ever been to a dedication, you can tune in virtually and kind of experience that, especially before the holidays. It's really awesome.
4 of them back to back. I'm going to be on such a high after that of experiencing just so much amazingness.
I know.
So awesome. But yeah, it's just such a great way to start your day and to spend 5 minutes. I mean, you carve out 5 minutes and you'll definitely feel good about it. So, well, Morgan, I think we have one more podcast before the holidays, but, I hope the holidays are treating you well and you're getting all your shopping done. I'll give you my list of everything that I'm asking for Christmas.
Were you going to ask for a win last week or?
I told you that USF is off limits when we talk on these things. So we're not going to talk about it other than the fact that they did a lot better than I thought they would. So
I'll give you that.
Got to stick by my team. I'm wearing green today just for USF.
Me too.
Right?
Just for you.
Oh, look at you. See, thank you. I appreciate that. What great support. I am not going to wear black and gold or whatever that
Your list may get updated.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in and having a good laugh with us today. You can see we don't take ourselves too seriously. We like to have fun at Habitat, and hope everyone has a happy holiday, and be sure to go out and do something kind this week and take care of others. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.